Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Was It Something I Said? I'm your host, Yasmin, and today I think that despite all of my planning and my attempts to structure this episode, it's gonna be a bit all over the place because I am prepared to talk about this, but I do feel like there's so much, and I don't know if the connections are gonna be clear just based off of what I'm saying. I can also like post my notes for this so you guys can see where I am coming from. But yeah, today I want to talk about my trip to DC that I took on Thursday, which really just kind of opened me up to a lot of thoughts, reflections, and just, yeah, like, I don't know, it was a lot, it was great, energizing, activizing, but it was, activizing? That's not how you say that word, hold on, activating, activizing is good too, though, activizing. I gotta come up with a definition before that's a real word. But yeah, so I wanted to talk about just my trip to DC. I went, my friend invited me to a screening of Ava DuVernay's new film, Origin, and there was a talk back that was really wonderful, and yeah, it was great. And I spent the whole day in DC just beep bopping around doing my thing, doing homework, like doing school. I got something to eat. Like, it was great. But it was definitely a lot of just processing things. So I don't know how many of the people who listen to this podcast right now are the same people who listened to the podcast when it first came out. It would be crazy if, like, y'all are my listeners from, high school, if y'all are the same people who were listening in high school, but I don't know. Like, I guess I don't really consider who is actually listening to this, because a part of me feels like nobody is, even though I see the numbers and I'm like, okay, people are listening to this. There's just still this, like, level of space I have between my audience, I guess, and myself. I think especially because I don't have, like, the Instagram is not really up and running anymore, and I don't really think I'll revisit that. And the only place I post about this podcast currently is my private Instagram with 80 followers. So I just don't really feel like a huge, I don't know, connection to whoever's listening to this, or I just don't know who is. If you're listening to this and you, like, have my number, can you text me and be like, yo, Yasmin, like, I am still listening to your podcast, because that would be wild. it's just, like, wild to know. But, yeah. So, I've been at this. I started this podcast in 2017, and it is now 2024. So, it's been 7 years of Was It Something I Said, which is wild. So yeah, I have gone through a lot of changes. A lot of my personality, my thoughts, my opinions, my identity has gone through just, like, a lot of different phases. And if you were around then and are around now, I think you can see that. But just for the people who are either new or, I don't even know, just stumbled upon this for whatever reason, a lot of what I used to do with this podcast was, like, political commentary. And I loved it. It felt like, I don't know, like, I felt like I was doing something. I felt like I was using my voice for good. I felt like this podcast was an action that I took to change people's minds or to engage in conversations that I thought were important. And at a certain point, honestly, I can pinpoint the exact point. It was 2020, because, like, as I said, I started doing the podcast in 2017. I started doing other community organizing things in 2015, like middle school. I was doing community organizing, protests, speaking at protests, like, all that stuff. Like, I was a kid. And so I think really now why I kind of have stopped doing a lot of political commentary is for a lot of reasons, honestly, and I'm going to be honest about this. I think the main thing is, yes, like, I was doing it for such a long time that I felt like I needed a break, mentally, creatively. Like, I didn't have it in me to do the amount of political commentary I was doing before. Also, going to college, like, yes, like, going to college is kind of just makes everything stop, and you kind of have a lot going on. I had a lot going on, as y'all know, and I remember I made a podcast episode while I was at school, just basically telling y'all what was up. And I think 2020, for a lot of people who were in community organizing spaces before 2020 required of people who were in community organizing spaces to facilitate the entrance of a huge number of people into community organizing activism in local communities. And so I felt that during that time, there was a huge, huge pressure on me as a 17, 18 year old to facilitate people's entrance into community organizing and activism, which was exhausting and a lot of work, and it felt like there was a lot that was done, but nothing really changed. And that's often, I don't know, and I say nothing really changed, but, like, that's, like, my pessimistic brain. Like, a lot of things have changed since then, and I think a lot of good things have changed since then, to be quite honest. But, yeah, I wasn't seeing it. I didn't feel it. It was a lot. So I was just like, I can't really do this to this capacity or this effect anymore. I think a large part of why I don't talk about politics to the extent that I used to on this podcast is because I felt like previously I had a position that made me feel, I guess in retrospect, a little bit disconnected from people, or intellectualizing things that could just be felt, or even, I don't know, realizing that I needed to be humbled a bit because I don't know everything. I think that realization really made me want to talk less and listen more, and that's something I'm still working on. But I think, yeah, I really became a student in a lot of ways, and this podcast didn't really feel like a place where I was learning. It felt like a place where I was telling other people what they should think, and maybe that's harsh, maybe that's hard, but I, like, was genuinely a kid, and so I think that, you know, that was just, I feel like that's what I was doing, even if it wasn't. Like, that's just how I feel in retrospect. So now, and so now on this podcast now, it's not even that it's not political, like, duh, it's political, like, y'all, like, I still have some stuff up from before, so, like, it is, but I think now what's happening is a lot of my thoughts that when I come on here are feelings-based, and not so necessarily, like, I don't know, like, me trying to, like, prove any points. Like, I'm not trying to prove any points, I'm just telling you how I feel about things that I see. And so that's why I really wanted to talk about my trip on this episode, because it feels like it falls into what I've been doing recently, but it also does feel like there is a direct connection between what I'm probably going to talk about today and what I've talked about on the podcast previously. So I just wanted to get that out of the way, because I feel like if I just, like, randomly came on here and was like, okay, like, let's talk about the American political machine, like, if y'all have been listening to what I've recently been putting, I'd be like, what? Like, when do we start talking about the American political machine again? So, yeah, just wanted to put that out there as a little disclaimer. But, yeah, I guess being in D.C. was really alarming, or not even alarming, but it was strange because, like, I was looking around and, like, I saw these people in suits and I saw these buildings with all the security, and, like, it had this, I don't know, like, aura of there are important people here. Even, like, the cleanliness, like, I don't know, like, because I was in the hub of DC, like, I was in the part of DC, like, I was near the Capitol, like, I was near all the museums, like, I was in that part. And yeah, it just felt very clean. It felt like there was a lot of performance. It was almost like a stage for important things to take place, if that makes sense. But there is something about being there that
that made me realize, oh yeah, like, these people, like, definitely, like, go and they, like, stop inside for coffee. And, like, there are people in charge of things, but they are also just people, which is also just really interesting to think about, because when you hear a lot of these, like, big names in politics, you're like, oh my god, like, that person is so, I don't know, powerful. They have so much power. They're making all these decisions. They're fucking people over and killing people and sending money to kill people and approving all the stuff that's terrible. And it makes us feel powerless because we forget. It's easy to forget when you're not there and you don't see these people. It's easy to forget that they're just people like you, and, like, I'm not even trying to get violent or anything, but, like, y'all could, like, stand up next to each other and be the same height. Like, it's not what they try to portray it on the TV where, oh, this very important person in this very important outfit. Like, no, like, it's cloth. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's the same cloth you're wearing. Like, they're all just people, I guess. And something that I was thinking about was just how badly, I mean, I remember when I was doing all my activism stuff, like, so many adults would come and be like, you need to be the president, like, you need to run for office, like, you need to be a politician, and, like, no, I don't, and, like, I did not need to do that, and I do not need to do that, because I think what people don't realize is that if you go to Washington, or you get a political position, right, and your whole thing is you want to make things better for people, you, okay, let me break it down. So you are so overrun, right, with, first of all, we treat our politicians like celebrities. So, okay, you're a celebrity now in your hometown, in your wherever, you're a celebrity, okay? So people are stopping you, people are asking your name, they're asking for a photo, they're talking to you. And so as a person, like, your time to reflect and think and genuinely, like, be okay as a person is down. It's down. You have no time to do that. And so now you are a public figure, and also you're supposed to be making these important decisions that nobody wants you to make, right? Everybody has kind of become complicit. Everyone you're working with has become complicit into these systems, and it's just really trying to keep the machine turning. And we're not breaking the machine, we're not rebuilding the machine, we're oiling the machine, right? And so because you have no time to think, and because you are a public figure, and because it feels like everyone else is just kind of trying to get to the next day, like, I really feel like there is not room for you to say, hey, like, let's build a new machine. Like, I really just don't feel like that's happening. I feel like there's a lot of compromise that happens, and I don't know, like, you're just in a hamster wheel, and you're just trying to get to the next day and trying to keep things from blowing up, but not necessarily trying to make things better, if that makes sense. And what is the status quo, and what is allowed to be the status quo, is still death, destruction, and war, and poverty, right? It, like, it is. But because it's always been the status quo here, it's not a problem anymore. It's built into the machine. It's like looking at the screws in the machine being like, oh no, like, we need to take these out. And I was like, oh, but then it won't work. Like, it's bad. It's so bad. But yeah. So I guess, like, that was something I was thinking about when I was in DC. Like, I really cannot imagine being in DC and being a senator or congressperson, like, trying to do change from the inside. Like, it seems like an oxymoron. But yeah, I was thinking about that a lot when I was there, and I was thinking about the fact that, so I, like I said, I'm back in Virginia, and so before I was, so, like, y'all know, like, I went to Vermont for college, and when I was in Vermont, nobody was talking about politics ever. I was surrounded by people who were living in a fairy tale land where everything was gravy, let's smoke, let's go to this terrible party, let's talk trash about people because we, like, we've decided that they're bad people, but they're just regular ass people, like, just not real problems. And I remember being there and just being so disoriented by the fact that nobody had anything real to say ever. And I was comparing that to, like, my experience in Virginia. But now that I'm back in Virginia, And this is so likely because I'm not doing school in person, or like I'm not really around people that much as of late, but like I really feel like there's a similar disconnect in what's happening in my life currently. And I feel like there are people who I know who are like ready to have these conversations, but like there's, when you're in DC versus when you're in Virginia, like there is a huge gap in the energy of people who are fighting or working towards things changing. Like, I haven't even heard anything about the presidential election. And I don't even think the presidential election is like the most pressing issue right now. However, I think that it is, I think that, this is my theory, I think that, similar to me, right, after 2020, I was wiped, I was done, I was exhausted, I could not actually look, right, like, I had to look away, I had to close my eyes, I had to say, I'm not looking anymore, I can't take any more of this analyzing, this political commentary, like, all of it, it was just so much, so I looked away, and it's been 4 years. And now I think people are still kind of looking away, at least inward. I think right now there are a lot of people who are like keeping tabs on what's happening in Gaza. And I think that that is a new thing. Like, I think prior to October, there was really nothing, and there's really like no commentary or no critical thinking about like what the American political machine is currently up to, I guess. And so, yeah, I think right now what we're seeing is like a resurgence in critical thought, which I think is very wonderful. I just saw someone on Instagram Reels telling people, pleading with people to read an essay. And I was like, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. So like I'm feeling, I don't know, like some energy happening now, which I think is really good. And I don't want to be like super pessimistic, because I think that there's enough of that. And I think the pessimism is an excuse for me, definitely was an excuse to just kind of not be concerned with all the terrible things happening. But I think that, I don't know, like, you could be pessimistic. You don't even have to be optimistic to look at something and just know what the fuck is going on. You know what I mean? Like, like, you don't have to be like, oh, but it's gonna get better. Like, no, like, you don't have to do that to just look at something and know what the fuck is going on. Like, even if it's tough, it's gonna be even tougher if, like, something just kind of, I don't know, like, you're not prepared for something to happen, or you're not knowledgeable about what's happening, or you don't have any sort of say in what's happening because you haven't been looking and you don't have any thoughts on it because you don't even know what's happening or what's going to happen, I guess. And I'm not trying to put the pressure on the people, because I feel like there's a whole lot of reasons why somebody wouldn't want to look. But I think that looking away is a temporary solution to a constant problem. And maybe there's a solution that includes you taking care of yourself, but also has some sort of, I think we need to decentralize ourselves in a lot of ways. And I think that looking away is selfish, and that's okay. Like, being selfish is fine. But I don't know if we all just want to be selfish forever. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe that's not the solution. And maybe there's something in the middle that allows for us to recognize when we've seen too much, or recognize when we need a minute to look away or whatever. But I think that the looking is vital across the board. You know, just a moment. And this is what I was saying on the other podcast, like, read the news, please read the news. Like, you don't have to read the news every day, you don't have to put the news on morning and night, but like, read the news, check in, see what's happening, because I don't want anyone to be taken off guard or surprised by what happens next. You know, at least when you have
some knowledge, or you're seeing some things, or you know what's happening, like, you can be prepared, and you can prepare yourself, and you can prepare your family and loved ones. So, yes. Yes. That was a big thing I wanted to talk about. Tapping in, even if it's hard. And that's something that I think I need to do a better job with. Because I really haven't been on it. Like, I really haven't been. Like, I've done what I can. I've done, like, what I've had the capacity to do. But, like, there is something to centering yourself in. I don't know. Like, at least center something greater than you, right? I don't know. But this is something that, I don't know, being back home has really given me time to reflect on, like, this was a big reason why I actually didn't want to go to another university, because I feel like universities do this thing where they want really, like, activated and political and engaged students, and then what happens to those students when they come to a four-year university that's bullshit is they spend all their time, instead of, like, actually, like, working towards, like, better, like, I don't know, like, the politics that they were working on before they came into college, they start working on making the college better, and this is free labor, right, that they're doing for the college, and they're protesting what the college said about whatever, and it's like, okay, yes, right, whatever, I'm not even trying to knock y'all, like, yes, but, like, if you really think about it, this was my thinking, but, like, okay, why am I at an institution protesting the institution, okay, one, and I think it's important, make your institution better, make your school better, right, but for me, it doesn't feel worth it when I could be organizing for, like, something real, or, like, something that exists in the real world, like, instead of protesting an institution that I chose to go to, like, why not protest, I don't know, like, things that I don't have control over, or, like, organize around issues that I exist outside of my institution and affect my community at large, and not just a small percentage of my community that's, I don't know, existing in this institution, right? But it's also existing in the state, existing in the city, existing in the country, existing in the world. Like, okay, so the institution is a very small part of, I don't know, what's happening elsewhere, so it's just something I was thinking about. Like, I feel like schools do that on purpose, where they want really, like, politically engaged minds, and they want to accept them to their school, and then they accept them to the school, and then the student gets there, it's like, this school is bullshit, I'm protesting the school, but then it's like, now you're not protesting all that other shit you were doing before you came here. That's something that I did at Bennington. Like, all the energy I was previously spending in community organizing spaces, Black organizing spaces, environmental organizing spaces, all that energy that I had for that work, literally, I put into trying to make Bennington College better. And, that's insane. Like, Bennington College isn't even a real fucking place. Like, I literally left. Like, I'm not even there anymore. All that energy, and I'm, like, maybe it's not for nothing, and, like, maybe it did something, but, like, I don't know, like, even if I hadn't left, I would have graduated. So it's just, like, it seems kind of, I don't know, like, it just seems like an interesting tactic. I feel like that's on purpose, but maybe I'm wrong. But, yeah, those are my thoughts on D.C. This was not as long as I thought it was going to be, which is great. I was like, oh, Lord, I'm going to be talking here for an hour. But it was only a few minutes, so that's good. But, yeah, I will chat with you guys soon. I hope everybody is well. I hope this made sense. And yeah, love and peace. Bye.